podcasting brought to you by New Constructs, an independent investment research firm committed to helping our clients invest wisely and confidently. Visit newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor and market veteran, David Trainer.
Hi, this is David Trainer, CEO of New Constructs. Today I'm going to reveal to you several of the adjustments we make to fix income statements. Things that you have to do to make sure an income statement is actually as useful as it is supposed to be. First, I want to remind you how to access our research. newconstructs.com, go to the research section. Tons of free reports, tons of white papers on income statement adjustments, balance sheet adjustments, and valuation model adjustments. Look, in working with the FASB directly, I see better than anyone what's going on, what's changing, where the loopholes are, where they're going to be, and which ones are going to be closed. We've been doing work in these filings for over 15 years. I started as an auditor. I know how the sausage is made from an audit perspective. I know how the sausage is made from a Wall Street perspective. I was on Wall Street before, during, and after the tech bubble. I saw things that, well, I can't even really say in a live situation. Things that weren't illegal then, but are definitely illegal now, is I guess the way I'd put it. And on that front, I think that as technology improves, more of the work that we do is going to sort of be taken for granted. And all these kinds of adjustments we make are, it's not going to be as big a deal, right? I mean, I'm actually doing a podcast on income statement adjustments. And I wouldn't be surprised if 5 or 10 years in the future, all this stuff is automatically done for investors, because it should be. It should be. You shouldn't be led to believe that the income statement in and of itself is reliable, because it is not. And let me give you a perfect example. Back in 2012, we found on page 73 of its 10K for JP Morgan, ticker JPM, that they got $1.1 billion from a bankruptcy settlement. That was bundled in with other items and included as operating income, despite being a one-time settlement and certainly non-recurring. You have to go through the whole 10K to see this. JP Morgan's 10K in 2012 was probably well over 250 pages. I don't remember exactly. It might not have been that long, but I would be surprised if it was not, because the average length is around 200 pages and banks tend to be quite a bit longer, sometimes 700, 800, 900 pages. All right? No kidding. That's how long these filings are, right? And even if they're in a digital form, the digital haystack is larger. And let me tell you, there are more needles. I've done presentations to regulators showing how there's been a 16% compounded annual growth rate and material hidden items. Hidden items being items that you cannot find in the financial statements themselves, but only by going through the footnotes. And those things in the footnotes that we find, red flags, adjustments, and things like that, effectively render the income statements, balance sheets, much less reliable than you would be led to believe. So let's talk about some of the big adjustments we've made this year. Right, we are now going through the 2014 fiscal year-end filings, and we're going through them with more detail than anyone else. And one of our biggest adjustments this year for General Motors, a $5.8 billion hidden non-operating expense. Their net income in 2014 was artificially deflated due to that expense. It was factually a couple expenses, included $2 billion related to recall campaigns, $400 million for ignition switch recalls, and $400 million due to the devaluation of the Venezuelan currency. This was an item that was hidden. It was only found when you're going through the notes. That's $5.8 billion of hidden expenses, unusual expenses, in GM's income in 2014. We dug that out for you. Liberty Global had a major adjustment as well. And you know, like, some people are actually even looking at the income statement. They're just trusting reported EPS, GAAP EPS, GAAP net income. And let me tell you, you can't do that for sure. You can't trust it even when you're looking at it, but even if you are looking at income statements, there are major adjustments that you will see on the income statement themselves. For example, Liberty Global had a $3.9 billion adjustment or misleading information on their income statement. That included $2.5 billion of interest expense and non-operating earnings. We removed that item, as well as several other items that overall affected Liberty Global's net income by $3.9 billion, as I just said. If you want details on any of these adjustments, just go to the research section of our site, go to the special offer section, and you'll see that there's an article titled Income Statement Adjustments Reveal the Truth. And that's basically what I'm working from right now. So the first adjustment on the in the report is General Motors. The second is Liberty Global. BlackBerry had a $2.4 billion asset write-down, right? That's not so much an income statement item. It is an income statement item because it is actually something that distorts the income statement, but it's really more related to the balance sheet. We've actually found in some work we've done with that I've actually presented to regulators that write-downs can be a leading indicator to fraud and bankruptcy. Let's face it, as I said on other podcasts, write-downs basically mean that you are writing off shareholder equity, basically saying it didn't exist. It's a situation where management takes money, invests it, and says, oh, that investment is worth less than what we paid for it. Okay, that is shareholder value destruction. Quintessential shareholder value destruction. And we found $2.4 billion in write-downs in BlackBerry in their 2014 filing. All right, so we'll adjust that on the income statement. We'll add that back, and we'll also add the after-tax value back to invested capital. And we'll accumulate those over time. And again, we've seen some huge numbers show up in terms of accumulated asset write-downs for certain companies. Sometimes as many as, you know, 3.5 to 1 for every dollar on the balance sheet. All right, how about non-operating taxes? eBay, $1.9 billion. Basically, what we have to do is actually fix the reported taxes because... And I've been doing this work for almost 20 years, and I've worked with CFAs, people that teach CFAs, accountants, all over the place, trying to figure out how to really convert the income tax provision to cash operating taxes. And that means you got to do two things. One, you got to adjust the income tax provision to reflect the actual cash taxes paid because it reflects sort of what the company is supposed to pay, not what they actually pay, and we want to get to cash. And you have to also make sure it reflects the operations of the business. And that's the operating net or pre-tax operating income before all the unusual items that we're talking about removing here. That's what you want the taxes to be relevant to, or that's what the taxes should be based on. And so we found that, you know, it's virtually impossible to convert the income tax provision to actual cash operating taxes. That you can't find really in the filings enough information to do that. A lot of it's because of the deferred tax valuation allowance. That's a crazy adjustment that you basically just can't work around. And so the indirect method where you convert the tax provision to actual cash operating taxes doesn't really work. We tried. We tried big time, and some really smart analysts came to me and said, you know what, David, we need to give that up and we need to go to the direct method. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, we need to just find the tax rate that makes the most sense. We know we can find the pre-tax operating profit or the net operating profit before tax, NOPBT. We're good at that. We just need to find the right tax rate to go with that and not even try to convert, using the information they give us, convert the income tax provision to cash operating taxes. And so we did. We have an awesome white paper on it that we share with some of our clients. It's phenomenal work that we've done. Effectively, what we do is we go in and we use pre-tax and after-tax value of charges and gains that we find in the MD&A and the footnotes to get a sense of what the real effective tax rate of the company is. We also look at the reported marginal tax rate of the company that they provide us and anything else they might provide on the tax front to get a sense of what we believe to be the actual tax rate. We also look at, you know, how the income tax provision compares to the pre-tax income, because in some cases, for some companies, lots of companies in cases, that's actually helpful. And we'll look at the tax rates over history to get a sense of how much volatility there is, and we'll factor that in. Anyway, we'll come to what we really believe to be the right tax number. And for eBay, that meant $1.9 billion of non-operating taxes removed from net income. So basically, we increased their profits and decreased their taxes by $1.8 billion. I think that's a good example. Look, we're not always out here to chop down companies because of things that they do to mislead and think that they're kind of trying to mess with investors all the time. There are plenty of good companies out there that oftentimes understate their profits. And those stocks lots of times end up on the most attractive stocks list, I would say. There are several other adjustments that I would talk about if I had more time, including a $905 million loan loss provision for Deere. For Novartis, we had $447 million loss from discontinued operations. Another $783 million in non-operating income removed from operating earnings. Anyway, there's lots of items in this report. I recommend you take a look. We've got another report that's going to focus on balance sheet adjustments. Another one that's going to focus on valuation adjustments. They're all in the special offers section of our website. Go to newconstructs.com, click on research, and you'll click on special offers, and there you will have it. And there's also, of course, the white papers that we've done on the 30-plus adjustments we make to get to the truth about earnings quality and valuation. It's the best work in the business, and it's there for you to free. We want you to have it. We want you to know what's out there because we want you to understand how much work we do for you.